Welcome to Family by Design, a weekly radio program brought to you by
Wellspring Christian Family Schools,
the education ministry of WCF Church, located in Sebillesville, Maryland. We hope that today, in some way, we will help you to treasure God's design for your family.
Because the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.
Well, hello and welcome to Family by Design. I'm Joel Fisher, and I am delighted to be in the studio today with, first of all, pastor and educator Gary Cox. Gary?
Hi.
We are back in the studio.
Wow, it's been a while.
It has been a while, and we are excited because we have a very special guest with us today, Rachel Wilson. Welcome to Family by Design.
Thank you. It's great to be here this evening.
And Rachel, we're excited. We're going to have a fun conversation today. Rachel, you have a unique and really insightful background when it comes to kind of the intersection of missions, education, and homeschooling. And we're looking forward to talking with you today. And I guess just to get started off, Gary, why don't you go ahead and share with our listeners how did you and Rachel become acquainted, and tell a little bit of that backstory just to set the context for our conversation.
Well, I think it was around 2014. The National Harbor was the site of a large homeschool convention, and our school program had a booth there, and Rachel was one of the people walking by our booth, and she was just telling about her upcoming missions placement in Ethiopia. And I got all excited because missions and education are really two huge matters that intersect. And she was going to be going over in their field of education. And I think you were going over directly to help homeschoolers.
Yes.
When I met you. So that was your new assignment.
All right. So that's kind of the context. So we'll just jump in, Rachel. So tell us, how did you end up, ending up being on the mission field, helping homeschooling missionary families? What's your background, and how did you come from where you were to there?
Well, let's see if I can keep this a short story, but I grew up in Pennsylvania, and I went to Geneva College, and it was there where I studied elementary and special ed, and I'd wanted to be a teacher since I was a child, and I'd wanted to be a missionary since I was a child.
Yeah. Now, Rachel, maybe we'll just pause and say right here. So were you homeschooled, or what was your educational background?
No, I was a wannabe homeschooler.
Wow.
The only time I was homeschooled was when my mom gave me piano lessons, but that lasted, I think, only a couple months. But
wow.
I was a wannabe homeschooler. I'm a product of public schools.
Well, we won't hold it against you. There's some other products of public schools sitting in this very room, and we won't say who. It's either Gary or me. I'm not sure. Hmm. Or maybe it's Gary and I.
I don't know.
Whoever said Gary and me is probably that person.
That's right. Funny. That's right. So anyway, so getting back to your story, so you went to Geneva, and you said you got your master's in, or I'm sorry, you majored in
elementary and special education.
Okay.
And then I had the opportunity to do my student teaching overseas, and so the school in Paraguay, a small missionary school in Paraguay, said, yeah, you can come and check us out and come do your student teaching here. And I was like, Paraguay, where is Paraguay? So I had to look on a map.
You didn't even know what one guay was, let alone.
No, I didn't.
A pair.
I didn't know. Yeah. And so I ended up going there, doing my student teaching, falling in love, and just saying, like, I would love to teach here, like, to start my teaching career. I ended up going back teaching 8 years at that school.
Wow.
And that's actually where my first introduction to homeschool families started.
Okay. So at that point, you had not really, you said you were a wannabe homeschooler. Was that more, Not because you knew people who had been, just you thought that the idea of staying at home with your parents being, you know, goofing off there was not that that's homeschool do homeschoolers do.
No, they don't. So you they had, actually you, work hard.
So you had not actually had a lot of personal interaction
no,
with
homeschool. No, I hadn't. I wanted to be homeschooled personally because I didn't like the setting of public school and the bullying and teasing that happens there back in the 80s and 90s. But and I loved learning and education, so I took my schooling very seriously and got teased for that, of course, in public school.
Right, right.
But fast forwarding, and I'm in Paraguay, and I start interacting with missionary families, and not all missionary families have the opportunity to live in the capital city where the missionary schools are. So I had a family that invited me to come down to see what they were doing, about 8 hours from the capital city, and to help them out with homeschooling. At this point, the mom had been homeschooling for a couple years, but just like she felt like she was just not doing it well, and she just needed some encouragement. I'd only been teaching in the classroom for a couple years, but I was like, I'll come down, I'll come check it out, I'll come encourage you and, you know, see what life is like outside the capital city.
Yeah.
That trip ended up being very pivotal, and I would say that's the first time I understood the needs of homeschool families on the mission field. When you have families who live in very remote settings and the parents feel all alone, they may be the only foreigners there, and they're trying to homeschool their families. They don't have wonderful co-ops like we do here in the States.
Right.
It's pretty much them against the world. And so after about a week of substitute teaching for the mom so that she could have a break, also so she could see somebody else teach and kind of get some different tools and some ideas. And then just sitting down with her and saying, you know what, your kids are doing okay. They are smart. They are learning. They are reaching the educational goals that they need to reach by the age they are. And the mom I saw in that week, her face go from like a disappointment frown to like a smile of encouragement. And not just like for me, knowing I could do that with only a few years being a classroom teacher, I was like, okay, this is interesting. So I kind of put that memory back in my mind and
wow.
Then continued with my missions career.
Wow, wow.
In the classroom. Okay.
If I could interrupt really quickly, when you were visiting that first mom and on the mission field, first mom and dad, did you happen to see any tracking of connection between the homeschooling, because they were homeschooling, that their actual missionary outreach was, accented in a positive way, where having those children with them on the field being homeschooled was actually a very positive thing for the mission outreach. Did you get to see that in that first glance?
Well, I think I briefly got to see that, and I've gotten to see that a lot more in the past couple years working directly with homeschool families. But I think the greatest benefit is that, you know, instead of the children being out of the house for 6 to 8 hours a day, and then the family trying to catch up in the evenings, and then maybe sometimes the parents have to go out and do the evening Bible studies or, you know, one-on-one discipleship or whatever they're doing for their ministry, the children actually get to witness and sometimes even be part of the ministry going on. So when the mom has somebody in their house for a cup of tea and she's just talking about life or, you know, trying to read the Bible a little bit with that person, like, the kids are observing all this, so it's, like, firsthand, like, not just, oh, I know my parents are missionaries and this is what they do, but they get to see their parents in action, which is really exciting, and I hopefully encourages the kids as well.
Right. So getting back to your story then, so this was in Paraguay where you first
yes.
had that experience. All right, so, and just to remind our listeners, how long were you in Paraguay then?
I was there for a total of 8 years.
Wow.
So from 2000 to 2008.
Okay, so in 2008, what happened?
In 2008, in 2005, I got to back up a little bit so you understand how I got where I most recently was.
Sure.
2005, God just said Africa. That's all he said to me. And I kind of jokingly said to God, you have to narrow that down. It's a really big continent. But I just knew Africa was on my heart. And it was also at that time God began to change all my outside the school classroom ministries that were Spanish speaking. He changed everything back to English and then allowed me to be in Paraguay for 3 more years working with an English-speaking church plant, working with youth, the kids that I had taught in elementary school were now in middle school, high school. And, yeah, I got to just, I believe those were years of training. And then in 2008, God released me and he said, you've done everything I've asked you to do here. And he called me back to the States, which was very intimidating.
And you said, well, wait a minute, wait. The States, I thought you said Africa.
Well, I had to come back to the States to pause because, number one, I had to figure out what it's like to be an American again. And
we're figuring that out.
Yeah.
Here, still.
And then secondly, because I knew God had called me to a life of missions, and I was not with an organization while I was in Paraguay, I knew I needed to get with a missionary organization. So I had done my research, talked to different missionaries while in Paraguay, and had decided SIM, which long time ago was known as Sudan Interior Mission, most recently was known as Serving in Mission, now it's just SIM. They were the mission board that I felt I could connect the most with their vision statement. So I signed on with them in 2008.
So I just want to ask a real quick question about the transition. So from the way you described it, it sounds like your first 4 or 5 years in Paraguay was all Spanish speaking?
When I was not in the classroom, yes.
Okay, but you taught in English the whole time?
I taught in English, yes. Okay, so it was a missionary.
Right, right.
Missionary kid school, yes.
So when you said you transitioned into English-speaking, you were meeting the English-speaking environment.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I've always become a part of the culture that I've lived in.
Right,
so,
right.
You know.
All right, so you came back to the States in 2008, and then you looked around and figured SIM was a good good place to go, and then you went to Africa.
Not yet.
Okay.
God gave me a few years to grow professionally and get some professional development, and he gave me a new ministry, and that was teaching in public schools in the States. So
wow, going back to the ranch.
Yes.
So what kind of a missionary experience was that?
Well, you know, being a product of public schools, but you know, public schools in the States are ministering itself because education is not just teaching the mind, but it's the whole person. And I know in a public school setting, you can't talk about God, but you can let your little light shine really, really bright for Jesus. And so I tried to do that, and God sent me to a school that was actually a Title I school. It was a school where most of the children were immigrants themselves or children of immigrants. Wow. Mostly Hispanic population, so I got to use my Spanish.
That is so awesome.
And you know, and at the same time, I was sharing with my students, hey, I've been living in South America, and I know I'm going to Africa next. And they'd be like, Miss Wilson, why are you going to Africa? So it gave me opportunities to just start talking about God indirectly.
Okay, so you were in that was in Virginia, correct?
Yes, in Virginia.
So you were in Virginia in the public school for 3 years, and
actually 2 years.
Two years. I'm sorry. And then what happened next?
And then it was time to really prepare to go to Africa, and so I took a semester off, did some additional training, and raised the rest of my financial support I needed to get to Africa, and so. In January of 2011, I finally made it to Africa. I finally arrived in Ethiopia.
And why Ethiopia?
Well, when I was looking at schools, all the schools that SIM represents in Africa, I had narrowed it down and I prayed about it a lot. And Bingham Academy, which was the school I taught at for 2.5 years, so my first term in Ethiopia, it was a school that they needed an elementary teacher or a special ed teacher, and they had a homeschool program. And those were all three of my passions.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, I think this is going to be a good fit for me.
Okay. So when you went, you didn't necessarily know at that point that homeschooling was necessarily even on the radar, or did you already have a good understanding of that when you went?
God was still using those years for me to understand more of the need for homeschool families on the mission field. So I got to interact with a lot more homeschool families those first couple years teaching at Bingham. And I also would start spending my breaks going down to visit families outside of the city. And eventually I was like, I would love to do this more than just twice a year, because I had all these families saying, could you come visit me? Could you come visit me? And I was like, well, I have to be in the classroom and I have to teach. So when I asked my administrator, is it possible to travel anymore? And he was sort of like, well, no, we need you here. I felt like God was saying, well, this is now a new ministry I have for you, that I want you to be full time just for missionary or just for homeschool families.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. For those of you who are just tuning in, we're talking with Rachel Wilson, and Rachel is a missionary, missionary educator who has spent the last, I'm going to say 7 years, is that right? Six years. Helping homeschool missionary families on the field, and we're enjoying hearing her story, how God brought her there. So, Rachel, you're just saying you asked the administrator of the school you're working with in Ethiopia about going out of the field and actually being helping with these families. So what did that look like? Was this a situation where you come and stay with families for a particular amount of time? Did you kind of have a circuit? You know, you were the circuit riding teacher. kids knew that, boy, Miss Wilson's coming. We better have our work done. How did that work?
Well, when I switched to working with homeschool families, I switched my name to Miss Rachel to make it more informal.
That's right, because homeschoolers are more cool.
Yes, they definitely are. Yeah. And so what happened was that I would go to wherever our SI missionary families were and spend anywhere from a week to 2 weeks with the family, just kind of based on what the family needed. Or sometimes there were several families on one compound or in one city. So it was juggling maybe a couple families at a time. I would do the schooling to give the parents a break. I would do the annual testing to check the how the kids' progress are with the grade level. And a lot of the time was just kind of hanging out with the kids, getting to know the families, getting to know the ministries the families are doing, talking with the moms over a cup of tea and just letting them pour their heart out and have another sister in Christ to be able to talk to. Yeah. I always said that education was the way that got me to the families, but I did so much more than education.
Right.
I feel like I was an emotional support to them, an encourager. The last couple years in Ethiopia, there was actually a lot of political unrest in the country. Mm. And so that was very unnerving for many of the families living outside of the capital city, not knowing, is it safe to travel, not safe to travel? Would we have to stay in Addis versus down where our ministry was? So I kind of got to be that constant in the kids' lives, constant in the family's lives. I'd be kind of the fun person too, because I'd go grocery shopping and bring fun stuff from the capital city, bring the mail, you know, maybe their Christmas cards or birthday cards. So definitely the kids and the parents appreciated my visits.
So talk a little bit about the relationship you had with the homeschool parents, particularly homeschool moms. I guess on the one hand, I'm based on some of my experience, you can kind of have two kinds of homeschoolers. You can have homeschool families who are like, oh, yes, I will take all the help I can possibly get. Yes, can you come 5 days a week? That's great. And then you kind of have, you know, kind of the opposite extreme, which is like, oh, you know, we're doing okay. We're doing fine. Sure, you can come back another 3 months. And so just describe, how was that? Were families, were they interested in, I mean, obviously they must have been interested in you coming. Describe that relationship. Was that, how that played out?
So I think for each one of my families, they kind of viewed me in different ways based on how long. Some of them had been homeschooling before they came to the field. Mm-hmm. So they taught me a lot about homeschooling, because I could go with them. I could go to them with my questions and say, how did you do this? How do you manage this? And they were the experts. So, but then me coming in, I was a fresh set of eyes, a fresh set of ears. I could give them a break, and they could actually, then sometimes I would free the moms up to be able to go out in the community and do ministry with the people in the community. And so some of the moms really appreciated that. I actually had, you know, a couple families. Initially, their kids were like, you know, very young, one, you know, maybe kindergarten age, and they're like, oh, we don't need you yet, Miss Rachel. Maybe in a couple years when our kids are in elementary school. And I was like, you know, I can respect that. I'm like, just let me come down for a couple days and just hang out with you and get to know you and get to know your kids. Well, by the end of that visit, they're like, wow, we totally would love for you to come as much as you want.
Well, yeah.
And you can come and hang out with us and, you know, just teach our kids. They saw the benefit of having another adult in their children's lives because I have that privilege of being like an aunt to these kids as well because I've left my 8 nieces and 2 nephews. So it's great to be able to be that other adult in their lives.
Wow, that's awesome. Describe a little bit, you know, how your own perspective maybe changed or was broadened or even some things that maybe you thought you understood about homeschooling. I mean, you know, so I was homeschooled, so I'm an insider. I have my own kind of introspective perceptions of how people think. You're someone who wasn't homeschooled. So as someone who was not homeschooled, plus you are an educator, and in some ways, Rachel, I feel like you are an anomaly because a lot of people, it seems like, who you know, have the training, they kind of like, I don't know about this whole homeschooling thing. So obviously you didn't have a hostility there. You were very interested and so on. But what were some things that, you know, maybe some perceptions that you had that changed or describe that?
Well, a confession of mine to make is as an educator, I initially thought homeschool families were taking away my job.
Okay.
And so
yeah.
I'm very thankful that God has opened my eyes to make me realize that, you know, it is the parents' number one responsibility to educate their children. And so that was a complete, you know, 360 for me of like, let me step alongside the parents. And then when I think about my own growing up, like, my mom taught me what I need to know before I went to kindergarten.
Yeah.
Because that's the biblical mandate. That's what parents are supposed to do. So I'm thankful for that mind shift because now I can tell other teachers, educators like myself, who think, no, homeschooling is so wrong. You know, if you're not trained to be a teacher, you can't be a teacher. I'm like, excuse me, I think parents are the number one teachers. Mm. So we're taking away their job in a sense. Wow. So, and if we are to work, we need to work together, not work against each other. So I would say that's the greatest blessing to all of this is that I've began to see what God's mandate is as parents.
Wow. That I like how you just said that there's an understanding of working together. And Gary and I, we can kind of echo that. We're Gary, of course, is an educator by background. I have had some other career experience coming into the work that we do, but yeah, there's a coordination there, and sometimes Christian families need that reminder, and obviously the families that you were working with got that. So, we're wrapping up the broadcast for this segment. We're gonna have you stay for a few more conversations yet. But what would you say was your most favorite aspect of working with missionary homeschooling families?
Wow, that's a loaded question.
maybe tough question. For another broadcast.
No, I would say being that support system and to seeing how the Great Commission is being played out in multiple ways and in multiple settings, and knowing that by my obedience to what God's called me to do, it allowed other people to be obedient to do what God has called them to do. And then, like I said, we work together using the different skill sets that God's given to us. And just all together, we're helping spread the gospel, no matter what skill set we have.
Wow, that is awesome. That is great.
I know we're almost out of time, but I just wanted to chime in here. The mindset's so incredibly important. And first homeschoolers I ever met were 2 kids off the mission field. They're some of the most tremendous kids that I ever had the privilege of teaching, but they really had struggles because they thought they were like totally in fear because they had been homeschooled.
Yeah, now homeschool kids are like amazing.
Well, as a homeschooler, I'll take that as a compliment. All right, well, we're out of time for this broadcast, but we're going to come back next week with Rachel and continue the conversation about being a support for homeschooling families and on the mission field. And we're going to talk about how, if you're a homeschooling family considering going on the mission field, some of the things to consider. Well, you've been listening to Family by Design. If you want to hear more of our broadcasts, you can by going to wcfs.edu. Go and click on our resources page. It will take you to our flagship station, WTHU's Audio Vault. We encourage you to do that. If you'd like to comment or contact us, please do so. You can shoot us an email at radio@wcfs.edu. On behalf of everybody here at Family by Design and Wellspring Christian Family Schools, I'm Joel Fisher, hoping you'll join us next week right here as we continue to treasure God's design for your family.
Thanks for spending your time with us today here at Family by Design. Join us every Sunday when we will continue this wonderful journey, helping you to treasure God's design for your family.
'Cause the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.
Someday the house will crumble. Time will turn the land to dust. And when all accounts are empty, where will you invest their trust?
But if the riches that you give them is the wisdom of his ways, then the wealth you'll leave your children will last through all their days. 'Cause the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus. Is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.
This is Max Licato. All of us at one time or another come face to face with our past, and it's always an awkward encounter. When our sins catch up with us, we can do one of two things: run or wrestle. Many choose to run. They brush it off with a shrug of rationalization.
Saturday, March 30th, the Catoctin Church of Christ invites you to their Ladies' Day with guest speakers Dawn Lemon and Tina Wolves. This special day of fellowship, encouragement, prayer, songs, and food is meant to take the gem of your faith and polish it to perfection. Diamonds in the rough. This year's theme at Catoctin Church of Christ on North Carroll Street in Thurmont is the annual Ladies Get-Together, which begins with registration at 8:30 a.m. and the event runs from 9 to 1 p.m. That's at Catoctin Church of Christ's Diamonds in the Rough, Saturday, March 30th from 8:30 to 1 p.m. on North Carroll Street in Thurmont. Make it a Saturday to remember and let your life glow with brilliance among a gathering of your sisters in faith. To RSVP or for more information, call 301- 301-271-2069. That number is 301-271-2069.